Check out these beautiful bottles right here. Zumbador Tequila. Tonight, we're going to interview Roberto Lopez, the agaviero, the master distiller, the owner of the distillery, and the owner of this brand. And we're also going to talk to Sarah Centurion, the owner of Lighthouse Brands. She's the importer that's bringing this great tequila and this great story to America. You got to stick around for this one. The family history, how they're making this tequila, and its price point are going to blow your mind. Stick around. Hey, Sarah. Hey, Roberto. I'm so fired up to have you guys here today. How are you guys doing today?
Great. How are you?
Doing great. I'm with Tequila People. What about you, Roberto?
Great. So happy to be here with you, Brad.
Well, I'm excited about having you guys here and talking about this new tequila. I've tried it tonight. I let it rest before I tried it. It's amazing. Ooh, agave was right. A great tequila at a great price. Lou knew what he was talking about. So what we want to do today is kind of dive into you guys, your history in tequila. And then, of course, dive right into the brand, how it's made, where the agave comes from, everything that you're doing here to make it so people know the story behind it, because the story is sometimes the thing that helps somebody grab that bottle off the shelf. So who wants to go first in telling us who you are, what you do?
Sarah, please.
Thank you. So my name is Sarah. A lot of people in the agave world call me a Sarita, which I love. But, you know, currently I'm the CEO of Lighthouse Imports, and we're the U.S. importer for Zumbador. And we're very lucky to work with such a wonderful brand and with Roberto. It's not my first forte into agave. I've been in the industry for the last 24 years or so, in different roles with different companies, working on different brands. But this is the most exciting because it's the culmination of everything I've done in my career. And it's a lot of excitement behind Zumbador being a fairly new brand to the US, and we're bringing it to the next level. And we couldn't be more excited. So thank you for having us tonight, Brad.
No worries.
And Roberto?
Yes. Well, Brad, I have to tell you, long story short, because if not, we are going to be here like a whole week telling my story. But I was born into this world, growing agaves with my father, my grandfather. My family has always been in the industry. I come from a family of tequila. It's the Camarena family. I'm really proud of them. Pointing a little bit more to me, my family used to have to live in Mexico City and come all weekends to the Jalisco to see the ranch and the agave plantations. And my father and my grandfather always went with their cousins to say hi. So I was grew up at a distillery. That's why I'm a really good drinker. But I fell in love with this world. My grandfather, Roberto Lopez Camarena, died in 2001. So there came a family change that my father became my grandfather, and I became my father, being only 11 years old, and get just into the agave business and the ranch, and starting to manage all the things and stuff. Then my father passed away in 2018. And he inherited me the properties here in Jalisco. He always asked me what I wanted him to leave me or to inherit me. And I always tell him, please don't ask me, because you've given me everything in my life. I'm who I am because of you. But if you want to inherit me something, you know my preferences. And he inherited me all the Jalisco stuff. And I started working right away. I was doing the same as him, divided between Mexico and Jalisco. And in the pandemic, I decided to take all my time into Jalisco, get back to basics, get back to my roots. And the next day, I took that decision. We started building El Sabino. That was in 2020. We started late 2023, making some proofs, different processes and stuff, defining the profiling for our brands And we started commercializing the 2024, the first quarter in 2024. I think we arrived into the US arena like in May 2024.
Yep, exactly.
And now we are so excited that I'm talking with you, Brett.
Wow. So not only making a tequila and have a brand, but also I understand you're growing agaves, right? And then you built the distillery and you're the master distiller and you're doing this all in a new distillery that you guys have put together.
Yes, that's the super long story short.
That's an amazing story. I talked to a lot of people that maybe their family started that distillery, like your family has these distilleries that have been there for years or built a new one. And then maybe you have someone that's a brand owner and the master distiller is making it for it. But there's not a lot of people that I talk to that are making the brand, that own the distillery, that are doing what you've done in such a short time. That's when you take your shirt off, is there like a big S for Superman on there? Because that's pretty impressive.
That comes after I end one bottle of tequila, my friend.
Yeah. I can believe that. So education-wise, did you go to school in Mexico City or did you go to school in Jalisco?
No, I actually was born in Mexico City, but came with my father and grandfather every weekend of my life here to Jalisco. But I studied in Mexico City till the university, and always divided between the ranch and the big city.
So you like the ranch over the big city?
Yes, actually, I took that decision. I took all my time to Jalisco and I come back and forward. I have my family living in Mexico and I come back and forward every week. So I come all Mondays to work here in the ranch and the distillery, and I leave on Fridays to spend the weekend with my family.
Wow, that's amazing. So the distillery that you have, it sits on your ground, and then are your agave fields right there where your distillery is at?
Yes, I have more agaves than only the ones here in Las Presas Ranch. But we have every year a plantation here at Las Presas. So most of the agaves are state-owned and state-grown agaves for Zumbador.
So were you growing agaves there for other people before you started your distillery?
Yes, of course. I used to, when I talk from we is my father, my grandfather, and myself. We used to work a lot with our family. Then in 8, I came with my father and told him that I have this big new contract with Don Julio, that it wasn't the IOS 100% owned in that moment. And I started working with these big companies to sell the agave, that I should mark that decision in 2008 as a before and an after in the business of the ranch.
Gotcha. So you're one of those guys in the Jesus Maria area that knows everybody, don't you?
Yes. Most of all the cantinas. That makes half the work.
Yeah, that makes all the work worth it, right? You work all day and then head to the cantina and carry your own tequila in. So let's talk about the tequila that you have. So all estate Highland agaves, grown probably to the most mature that you would grow agaves, and harvested the way that it's all harvested. So we already know like that process. So after that agave is harvested and is thrown on that truck and brought to your distillery, what's your process from there? How are you cooking it?
We start the process ripping apart in two halves the plant. We rip out the cogollo, and then we start filling this stone agave. I forgot the word.
Horno, brick oven, yes, stone oven.
Hornos. We left them above 2 days cooking, slow cooking, so we can exchange the starches into sugar. Then we leave it cooling like for half a day, almost 3/4 of a day. And then we start the process with the taona. And we start, and a small, and another part goes for the roller mill. But what we are looking for is for all the aromas and the flavors of the taona, because there are some things that you can substitute with anything, just going with to the ancient way. You know, all the minerality and the earthy kind of stuff, only you can get them from the taona. Then you go into two divided processes. That one is a wooden bath fermentation tanks, and then the steel fermentation tanks. And then we start like going apart in every process. After it's fermented, we go to our distillation. We also use two kinds of distillations. We go into copper distillation and into steel copper coil distillation. That will be the process. Is a lot more complex than I can tell right now, but that's a Zumbador way.
Okay, so I'll back you up a little bit. So Tohono roller mill, you're probably doing the roller mill into the stainless steel, right? And yes. Then the Tohono into the pine, and are you using bagasso in the fermentation as well with the Tohono?
Yes, because there are some notes you can't get any other way.
Right. So then all copper for your Ordinario, and then for your tequila, you're doing the stainless steel with copper coil?
No, just the other
opposite
way.
Okay.
Yes.
When you said the copper first, I was like, I wonder if they're doing it that way. So that makes sense.
No.
Well, here's a question. So when you come out of fermentation, are you blending the two together then for distillation?
No.
Or do you distill them separately?
They finish their process completely different because they are different. You're going to obtain different tequilas. If you mix them, you're going to have different sugar concentrations. Here in the industry is named Brix. So it's better to run them separately. We tried to go into our mosto, but it was a better result if you went all the way till the end in the two processes.
So then in your blending process, are you letting them rest for a period of time before bottled?
Yes, of course. We have to wait first for all the tequila strength still to get calm and to the molecular can get together. Then we blend them and then we let it rest another like a week in order that everything is fine. And then we start our quality process that we start tasting it as we were looking for, or if we could run another whole batch in order to have what we want for bowling.
Gotcha. And these are both, I didn't look, but I'm assuming these are both 40 ABV, 80 proof, right?
Yes.
And then are you proofing down with just regular water, demineralized water? What are you doing for your proofing?
Demineralized water, because as we are using deep well water, we don't need more normal water into the process because we already have it since the steam of the cook oven. So that's why we use this mineralized water.
I mean, there's a great earthy minerality to your tequila. And when, you know, now that you've told me that it's both roller mill and Tohono, I totally get that sweetness that you get from the Tohono, and it's so well-rounded. I think I told you that when I was drinking it earlier. It's so balanced and so well-rounded that the price point that you guys are bringing this out at is absolutely astonishing. So everybody can have this on their shelf. This is great tequila. Let's talk about your repo. So what are we doing? Same exact Blanco that you're putting into barrels to rest?
Yes, but in a different way, because we don't go 110, 108, 105 proof into the barrels. We go just below 50, really near, but below 100 proof into the barrels, because that's the family way that the alcohol or the tequila is not going to start interacting with the barrels in a strong way. We just want a small, easy, and cool, overwarming interaction with the barrels.
Wait, so that's
the difference.
You're nailing it, because there's a lot of tequilas that, not a lot, there's a family tequila that I'm thinking of that has a very similar taste to the way that it's been aged. So I know what you're talking about. It's very good. Very good.
The difference for us right now in the moment that we're is our barrels are brand new. Mm-hmm. So we're expecting to, well, they're brand new, come from Jack Daniels, one juice of Jack Daniels, but they didn't have tequila before. So we're expecting our fourth or fifth batch of repos and añejo that we're almost sending our first añejo into the US really soon. I hope in 1 or 2 months, Arita, we'll talk about that. We're expecting for our fourth or fifth batch of repo to be really, really great and to be ready to compete with other great repos in the industry. Because right now we get a lot easy, cool interaction, but it's only going to get better and better and better when we start using this with tequila.
How many months are you aging your repo for?
Only for 3 months or 12 weeks, because we love tequila. We love the Blanco, so we don't want the liquid or the tequila to lose its soul.
Yeah, 100%. You have agave forward tequila in the repo, and you just get this nuance that the barrel has just kind of kissed it a little bit and gave it a little bit of an added something, but it's still agave forward and tequila all the way. So that's very impressive. So Sarah, he's dominated like 16 minutes here.
That's okay, as he should. There's a lot to discuss.
It's very awesome. So tell me a little bit about what you've got going on and how you interact with the brand.
I feel like this is my baby in a lot of ways. You know, it's very much an exciting brand to get behind and go out and sell. Right now, it's really introducing it to some new markets and trying to really build momentum in the markets that we launched in when we launched a year ago. So we have some markets that this brand has been in and doing extremely well. And then we have some newer markets in which we just launched. For instance, I was in Nashville last week and we actually sold out of Zumbador because we launched it and it was just a very, very well received launch. And so we sold out. And then, you know, the last 2 days of the launch, it was very much of a pre-sell mode, which is a good problem to have. And the momentum and the excitement, you know, there's not a lot of selling that really needs to go into Zumbador. Once you actually have the product, you taste the customer on the product, you talk a little bit about it, and then you drop the bomb on saying how much it is. It's like, it's truly a no-brainer. And it really fits the mold for a lot of needs that a lot of customers are looking for. And that's just a blessing of a brand to work for, and also a blessing of a brand to be a part of. So I couldn't be more excited.
Yeah, a brand at this price point with this much flavor, like there's so many tequilas that I have that I consider like an everyday sipper that are twice this price. So those guys aren't going to get sipped as much at this price, because this is bringing all of those flavors of so many great Highland tequilas that are twice the price. So that is impressive. I bet it is very easy. What markets are you in now, and what markets are you coming to soon?
Yeah, so currently we're in the Northeast. So we're in New York, we're in Massachusetts, Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont. We're in Connecticut. We're in Tennessee, we're in Georgia. We're also, if you move a little out west, we're in California, we're in Washington, Colorado, Minnesota.
Awesome.
Markets we're going into will soon be in Florida, in Texas, in Illinois. We're working on also sort of closing the Eastern Seaboard, if you will, with markets like New Jersey and the Carolinas. So there's a lot of exciting things to come. And on our Instagram, we're having a lot of people reach out daily. When are you coming to this market? So I think the excitement beyond distributor network and just consumers actually being excited about the product will also force market penetration sooner than later. So it's very exciting.
Well, when you lean into Illinois, just lean a little bit further into Indiana, would you? Because
for you, anything for you.
I need this tequila right here in Indiana.
I can't wait for that. Yes.
Yeah, it'd be awesome.
Yeah.
So what new products, because you kind of hinted to an añejo, are there some new things that are coming as well?
Yes. We're right now looking forward to complete the portfolio. We're getting this añejo, 80 proof, the normal añejo. It's going to be really good. We've been working with it and with the barrels for a month now, so we are almost ready. We are going to have some single barrels going out only for VIPs and really special tequila drinkers. We are going to get a still strength and a high proof, because we want to show people the difference between the high proof and the still strength, because they are different. They are only not only high proof or high ABV, they are a different process.
And the flavor profiles of those high proofs and still strengths, that when I come to a distillery, I'm the happiest person when I get to drink it right off the still. Just, it's so good, that agave flavor is so forward. And it's not something that I'd take a newbie that's never had tequila before and go, here, drink this. Then they won't drink it anymore. But to grow into being able to taste that right off the still and know what those flavors are and that boldness, I can't wait to see this in a still strength. That's going to be amazing.
We are really, really happy for it and excited. Well, Sarira is just going to taste it in a few weeks, and I'll be expecting her comments, because I want to thank her here with you, Brad, because everything we've done is a teamwork, and I'm really happy with them. And I think we really have all the team in every part in the U.S. We have something special, and we're really a good team, because I only get worried out of making the best tequila we can, and they are worried for everything else. So it's a really good, chemistry between the team, you know?
Yeah. Teamwork makes the dream work, right?
That's right. That's awesome. For sure.
And also, Roberto forgot to mention, we're also doing single barrels for certain customers as well.
That's super cool.
Also something very exciting for customers that, you know, also giving back to customers that have been supporting us. I think it's a good way for us to be able to provide something special that they could work with and be special to them.
Yeah, and the single barrels, they create a thing I call FOMO, right? We all know FOMO, fear of missing out of that barrel that comes out. But then I get one of those, and then I get FORO, fear of running out. So then I don't want to drink it because I'm afraid it'll be gone and I won't be able to get it again. So there's that half bottle thing where I don't want to run out now.
Yep.
Tell me a little bit about the name. Where does the name Zumbador come from?
Zumbador comes, it means hummingbird, but it's a Spanish word because here in Mexico, in the south states, they call the hummingbird Zumbador instead of colibri that we know here in Jalisco. But it's a great animal that interacts with everything. And the ancient people used to say that it was a connection between the generations of knowledge of wise people to continue guiding the next generation. So when we were deciding the brand, it totally touched me because of my story. I'm Roberto Lopez III. So I'm really thankful with my father, my grandfather, that I found a really strong message in there. And that's why you see three hummingbirds in the label, you know?
Yeah. So one for each generation.
Yes.
That is very cool.
Exactly.
And the hummingbirds play a big part in helping pollinate agave like the bats. So that's very cool. Who designed the label?
It was a really good studio back in Argentina. That they are really the best we know for this matter. And that they, when they started presenting us the first possibilities, they totally got us in love with what they do.
Yeah, it's beautiful with the sun behind that quixote and then the moon as well, showing that's when the hummingbirds would come out and pollinate. And it's so cool. And the story on the back is awesome. You have a great bottle, a great presentation. I do think you need a little picture of Long Island Lou somewhere on the back here. I think that would be really cool. Beautiful. And you announced today that you're actually changing the bottle shape a little bit, and you're going to have a cork system instead of the screw top on them.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we love the bottle, so we only just changed for an actual cork, so be easy, because I've seen a lot of videos of people trying to pull it out, and because that technology is different, it's new, but I think as our brand tries to be as tequilas used to be made before us, we have to go all the way traditional way, so that's why we changed to cork right now.
I mean, I really like the presentation that it is. I will like the cork as well. But when they got here and I popped them out, you know, it was the first time I'd seen them. And I was like, wow, that's really cool looking. is it a cork? Like, I didn't know when I was looking at it, but I knew it wasn't sealed on the outside. So I figured it had to be a screw top. So I twisted first before I pulled. And I like it. It gives a, I don't know, I think it's a beautiful presentation to the bottle. And I put these out here. There's tequila that shows up a lot, right? So my wife isn't always excited as I am when I'm ripping open a box of tequila, right? So she was out here at the bar getting something and she's like, hey, what are these? These are pretty. So that's another thing that I think is important. So many men are out there buying tequila, but so are women. And to have something that a woman can see the beauty behind it and also want to pick that bottle up, you nailed it there too. So that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, they are. They're aesthetically pleasing. They pop on the shelf. They pop on a back bar. And we also have 1 liter Blancos that fit perfect for the well for any type of well and cocktailing opportunities.
That's awesome. One liter is what, actually the bigger than the 1 liter ones are the one that I'm always looking for. You know, when you're in Mexico, they have those gigantic bottles. I'm always trying to figure out how can I get that home?
You're talking to the right person.
I think I am. Finally, I got a guy. That's awesome. So I like to ask a question to each person when we do this, but I already know the answer to yours, but I want to hear it come from you. At least I have a feeling I know. So when I have a brand owner that's got their first tequila and they've done all this work to put it together, I always ask, who would you want to sit down and share this tequila with and tell the story to?
You know the answer.
I do.
There is not a single day that I wish that, and I'm always talking with them, with my father and my grandfather, and always asking them to guide me, to put me in the right path. But I will love them to see what we have worked so bad for to have and to share. And that's why quality for us isn't something as business. It's a must. Because this has to transcend and go beyond the best we can do. Because I'm really proud, but I think they should be more proud.
I guarantee they'd be proud.
Yeah.
I think the whole family, all of the families that are from part of your family are all, if they're not proud already, they're going to be very proud because you've done a great job and you've put a lot of work into this. And I don't normally ask this question, but you don't look like an old man. How old are you, Roberto?
Not Brad. I'm 35 years old.
Golly. You've done what most people haven't been able to accomplish in a lifetime. And you've done it at age 35. And that, to me, is phenomenal. I know that you've had great family to teach you. And you've had great family by your side that have taught you, that are here today. I know that you hang out with Oscar Vazquez every once in a while. So that's a great guy to hang out with too. So thank you. Thank you for doing what you do, putting all of the work in and putting your heart, your soul, and your family's tradition into making something so amazing.
Thank you, Brad. I already thanks Arira and the team here in the podcast, but I want to thank you, especially like a special mention, Brad, because we have a lot of people around us that helps us and everything. But not always easy. It's been really hard with personal stuff, with business stuff and stuff. But seeing you guys willing to speak for our brand and to share with us what you think about the tequila and everything give us the strength to continue today and tomorrow to give the 110% out of everything. And I wanted to thank you.
Thank you. Seriously. So, Sarah, same question for you. You said this one's your baby. You've got lots of different spirits that you've worked with, but as your baby, who would you be the most excited to sit down and share this with?
You know, I feel like as we get older, it's very hard to sort of always be with the people that you love and appreciate, whether they're living or not. So this may sound so strange, but I would just love to just be in one room with everybody that I love professionally, personally, and we share a sip together because there's never an opportunity that you really have to do that. And it would mean so much to me for them to experience something all together with me. I know everyone is proud of me and excited for me. I'm the youngest. It's kind of a weird family dynamic, but through my dad's family, I'm the youngest sibling. But then through my mom's family, I'm the oldest sibling. And so fortunately, I've had the blessing of being the baby and also the eldest of my siblings. So having a big family and being able to experience it with them would be great, but also family, friends, you know, it would be very special to me. So that's who I would want to share it with.
That's awesome. Are you on the East Coast as well?
I am. I'm based in Connecticut.
Gotcha. Family runs deep in the East Coast, right? You guys in the Midwest, we probably aren't as traditional as what some of my friends in White Plains and New York area. Sometimes we have Thanksgiving and no one comes over, like there are different family members and they're like, no, all the family comes, you know? So it is very different here sometimes. So that's awesome. The family piece, I agree with that. To have some of, you know, the grandpas that have passed away and to get all of that family in one place and have them all remember who you are, that'd be pretty neat.
Exactly.
Yeah. There's a lot of Alzheimer's in my family. So I want them all to be there and they know what the heck is going on and where they are.
They're drinking. Yes, exactly. Yeah. It would be really special to do something like that for sure. Yeah.
Awesome.
And also to bridge the gap, I think, from a professional and personal life. And like what Roberto was saying, he's so tied to his family and his heritage. And I think that's so important. But it speaks true to how we selling it go out in our day to day. And I think everybody in the agave community is so close because of that, whether you are through some family lineage or if you're just through a personal connection. I think it's special to kind of keep that growing and keep that flowing.
I totally agree. There's, as Roberto and I were talking before we started filming and before you came on, and he was naming off his family members and the people in Tequila. And I would think just sharing that tradition and that history and knowing where your knowledge comes from on how to build a distillery in the time frame that you did and then produce such a great tequila in a very complex way. When you think about blending roller mill and Tohono and stainless steel fermentation without fibers and pine with fibers and figuring out how to put that all together and make that taste great, there's only a few tequilas out there that do that process and do it well, and you're doing it fantastically. So that is something to definitely be shared and talked about. I hope people watch this podcast to learn more about this tequila and how you're doing it, because it's very impressive.
Next time I'm going to try to bring my uncle Juan here, because he's been making tequila for 30-35 years from now. He's a really old wolf of making tequila. He's responsible for everything we've made nowadays. He's the one teaching me every day. He's the one pulling my ears every day when I get something wrong. It was a part on the when I named out of everyone that takes its position in this team. It's a little bit of knowledge, but we know what we are looking for. And there's sometimes it's easier to get the final presentation if you know what you are looking.
I was told by a great master distiller, though, that master distillers never make mistakes. They only make new profiles.
Well, I can assure you I'm going to have a really good talk later with my uncle.
His comment was that it may not be a good profile, but it's still just a new profile.
Yes, but no, I have messed up a lot since 2023, and he's a really good teacher, and he's always telling me, no, for you to get the things right, you have to do this and this and this. Okay, that batch goes, not to trash, but goes another part, and you have to start again and again and again.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, you're doing it.
We're learning from our mistakes, right? You know, that's all that we can do.
That's how, I mean, I've only been doing this stuff here since August. So I go back and watch my early videos and they're cringeworthy. I'm like, oh my gosh. I asked some other people that do this. I said, should I take them down? They're like, they're not bad. Like, they are to me. They're like, leave them there. So you do learn and get through the process of everything you do by doing it. So tell me about a website. Where can people find your website?
Yeah, ZumbadorTequila.com.
Okay.
Just today, we launched an e-com platform. So now you could actually purchase us online, especially for anybody listening in Indiana, Brad, that we don't have distribution there yet. They can now buy it online and have it delivered straight to their home.
I would suggest just ordering a case of each one. That's how good they are. And social media, do you have some social media out there as well?
We do. Yes, we are heavily invested in having fun on social media, especially our Instagram. Zumbador Tequila is our handle. That's also connected to a Facebook. That's pretty much the only social media platform we're doing right now. We have been showing up on some TikTok videos, on some YouTube videos. We don't have our own channel, but anything that is filmed with our brand, we happily repost it and call out where the repost is from. We love supporting everybody as they're supporting us. So we're really excited about everything that has been coming through.
Awesome. Well, I'm excited to get to meet you guys. I can't wait to come to Mexico. But I don't have to come to Mexico to meet you because I'm going to see you in Chicago. So this video will come out. It'll actually be next week in Chicago. So I'm really looking forward to that. And that's going to be a fun time.
Awesome.
I'm looking forward to, but it's actually next week.
This video will actually be posted the Wednesday before that event. So that's awesome. I can't wait. Well, guys, I want to say thanks for coming on. Thanks for sending me the tequila to try. We'll get some reviews put out on it, in the next couple of weeks as well. And thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you, Brad.
Thank you, Roberto. Thank you, Brad. We appreciate this opportunity. Thank you so much.
No worries, guys.
Thank you, Sarita. Thank you for all, Brad.
Thank you.